Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Hello, and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. Today is Wednesday, December 19th, the run-up to Christmas. Get that last-minute shopping done. This is episode 17. 17 already in such a short period of time. Thank you guys so much for the continued support. It makes me have the drive to just continue doing this. It's a lot of fun, and the feedback has been very good, as always. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. My apologies for not getting back to you last week. We had a bunch of Christmas parties, as I'm sure everybody else had, or holiday parties, as some folks would prefer to call them. But it was just no time in between with work and everything else running all over the place. Some last-minute shopping myself. So here we are. We'll pick up, you know, last weekend against Detroit on Saturday. Great game. I was in attendance at the Coliseum. It was my first game at the refurbished Coliseum. And honestly, it was, you know, very nice. You could tell they did a bunch of stuff there. And it was obviously very different from the last time that I was in attendance there, which was the Sunday afternoon game against the Capitals in the playoffs the last season at the Coliseum. So it was a bit of an eye-opening experience for me, obviously, because it had been, you know, what, 4 years since the last time I was there. But like everybody else said, it's still the same Coliseum. Sightlines still the same. Inside, you know, spruced it up with some paint and renovations here and there. Concourse extremely small, bathroom lines extremely long. If you try to get food, yeah, all right. I hope you're not hungry. But it was still fun. I had a good time. A buddy of mine from hockey had asked me to attend. I actually met up with Devin from Yes Men Outfitters in person for the first time. So there's that. Unfortunately, I didn't get there early enough to partake in his crazy tailgate, but did manage to have a beer with him and shoot the breeze for a little while, so that was good. Met his sister also and his friend Joe. So hat tip or stick tap to them for the great stuff that they've been doing over there. And we'll continue to moving forward here as the season progresses. So where are we at? We have Josh Hosang was called up, right? He practiced with the team, then he didn't play. And then he, you know, got the call for Saturday at the Coliseum against Detroit. He was on the power play, looked pretty good, had a ridiculous pass to Komarov that he couldn't finish. I mean, Komarov might have been handcuffed a little bit, you know. And they had, like, what seemed like 1,900 playoff chances. And in this space here on the podcast, I have been nonstop in my fire pointed at this power play. Guys are just too stationary, not really moving around, doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. I even said, heck, you know, if I was the opposition and the Islanders wanted to just pass the puck around the perimeter the whole 2 minutes, go for it. So if you're not going to shoot or you're not going to move, what am I going to worry about? And that's exactly what they've been doing. So they had, I think it was really like six or seven chances. They finally converted on one late in the game. You know, really brought it to the Red Wings. I think they had 47 shots on goal. They only allowed 13. Unfortunately, once again, with the 3-2 lead late in the third period, Detroit presses. They wind up scoring a goal. Forces overtime, shootout. We obviously know that Matt Barzal had that ridiculous move in the shootout to win right in front of us, basically, where I was sitting. So it was awesome. It was a good time. Place was loud. Fans were feeling it. It was good to leave there with a win. And then they start this road trip. Hosang joins the team. They went down to Colorado. I was a little nervous about playing Colorado. They are that first line. They could have 140 points between all three of them. Just crazy amount of talent there. Even after Duchesne left, you know, that's just addition by subtraction. Plus, they got some pieces back in the three-way trade as well. So, I mean, they didn't just lose out on Duchesne. Regardless, you know, the game has been talked about ad nauseum here over the last couple of days. I'm late here in getting to it. The games were late. I managed to watch the whole game in Colorado. Last night, I fell asleep. As much as I left my viewing percentage at like 86.6 or 88.6, I believe, as a little, nod to Back to the Future. But I wound up falling asleep 10 minutes into the game. I woke up with 19 minutes to go in the third. But now I'm getting distracted again. So back to the Avalanche. That was the best game I think I've ever seen the Islanders play, at least over the last five seasons. Everything just seemed to work. They scored two on the power play. They were physical. Casey Cizikas skated his tail off. Everything the team did just worked. The defense looked amazing to the point where pregame, earlier in the day, Nathan MacKinnon had said the Islanders are one of the best defensive teams in the NHL. Think about that for a second. Where were we last year? Now, Barry Trotz has this team to the point where the goal differential is down. They're playing over 500 hockey. They are in a playoff spot. They're only, a point or two out of second in the Metro at this point with the win last night in Arizona. So, I mean, you know, then you start to look to and think about pieces that Lou could potentially add, either via trade or free agency, which we'll get into later. And things are looking up. They really are. But just everything all over the place, the hitting. Unfortunately, Brock Nelson took a knee-on-knee from Cole, left the game. Thomas Hickey went to go make a hit in the defensive zone, missed his check, stumbled, hit his head on the boards. He left the game, didn't come back. And, you know, it was released earlier today that he has an upper body injury. He was placed on injured reserve. And Devon Taves has been recalled. It is a Christmas miracle, although it is not quite Christmas just yet. But he is on his way or already arrived in Las Vegas for the game tomorrow, Thursday. So we'll see if he'll suit up. If not, we'll probably see him over the weekend. But back to, again, because I keep getting distracted. There's just so much to talk about. I'm so amped up and I have no focus. None whatsoever. I haven't even drank any coffee today. So with that win in Colorado, which just showed everything that Barry Trotz wanted this team to do, is starting to really come into focus. And guys like Barzal and Hosang are driving the play. And, you know, Hosang's presence is shaking everything up, including on the power play. Which last night in Arizona, no power play goals, but it was a 3-1 win. Josh Hosang gets the equalizer in the first period. I fell asleep prior to that. So, I mean, I woke up and saw that he scored and I watched a replay. So I was happy. What a ridiculous angle he shot from. Goes with the saying, you just shoot from anywhere. You know, and I know guys practice those crazy angle shots all the time. So good for you, Josh. I'm happy that you're back. Barry Trotz said you're hopefully going to stick around if you play that way. So that's great. And, you know, what can he say? You know, things are looking up indeed. So we have Arizona, obviously, struggling. They lost their netminder for the rest of the season due to injury. They have some other guys that are hurt as well, like Michael Grabner. But still, they lead the league in shorthanded goals. They are still such a dangerous team. They have a lot of speed there. It's good to see that they're, you know, at least on the upswing. But they scored first. Islanders played them physical and fast like they did in Colorado the night before. And, you know, what more can you really say? I mean, Barry Trotz said all the right things. all the players are buying into it. Brock Nelson obviously came back in for the next night, last night. So obviously he just had a Charlie horse, nothing major. So that was good to see. I never thought that I would say, oh my God, they can't afford to lose Brock Nelson. But here we are, right? I'm sure a lot of you are saying the same thing. So, and then we have just the power play in general. Over the last three games, they are 3-for-10. Whereas over the previous games, they were over a 15-game stretch, 3-for-38, 15%. Just not, you know, they're not doing the right things here. Or at least they're trying to do new things. I mentioned over the last couple of days on Twitter, it looked like they started to use the Royal Road, so to speak, and the play generates from behind the goal line. You know, and I posted a screen grab of the game in Colorado where Matt Barzal was down low behind the net, dishes out to Eberle, who passes out to Lee at the point, manages to get a puck through on net for once, and that's when Lee tips it in. And then the power play where Boychuk scored his goal was a little different. They moved the puck around the perimeter, opened up some lanes, drew some people to them. Boychuk fought, you know, he cheated in a little down towards the top of the circle, but fired an absolute howitzer, and he beat Varmalov glove side. It was a great shot. One of those old school type slappers that you would love to see more of out of Boychuk. So, I mean, things, again, looking up. Now we have Devin Toews coming up. Andrew Gross of Newsday said, you know, I bet you he winds up staying in the lineup once they see what he can do. And I even tweeted at him. I said, that is a bold statement, and I hope that's true. So we'll see what happens moving forward. It stinks that it's you know, Thomas Hickey being injured because he was playing well, and I hope it's not too serious, and I hope he gets back, you know, ASAP. But for now, you know, we have Lucas Pisa, we have now Devin Toews, and obviously Scott Mayfield has been playing great too, which he had a great fight last night. I was awake for that one. You know, with all the good that Barry Trotz is getting out of this team, getting blood from stone, getting players to overachieve, getting NHL defensemen across the country to acknowledge that the Islanders are a tough defensive team to play, if not one of the best defensive teams to play. And there's some statistical proof to back that up as well. A bunch of the PDO, you know, guys on Twitter and analytics gurus have posted some clear evidence of this. And I still, after all this time, have no idea how half the stuff works. But I know that even like Staple buys into it. So when there are numbers that correlate the data, I mean, it's kind of hard to lie. I still like to go with the eye test to really get the biggest sampling of things. But Barry Trotz was quoted as saying, there are two kinds of players for me, hockey players and businessmen. Now, clearly he's using that as some sort of modification for an unnamed player, or it's, you know, it's just genuinely the way he feels. But when you have a team that's excelling and, you know, doing the right things and really buying in, because you see young players like Matt Barzal respond to the criticism that his head coaches are telling him. Same thing with Anthony Beauvillier. You know, now Josh Hosang. The fact that this kid couldn't crack the lineup, now he doesn't seem like he's going to be taken out. That's a great sign. You know, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But to me, when a coach is a good motivator like this, you know, he's going to see ways to continue to motivate. And over on HF boards, where I read this quote, because I didn't catch where it was actually written or recorded, there was a bunch of the guys over there, and rightfully so, that maybe viewed it as a little disrespectful. And I don't necessarily agree with that. And I'm going to read my post only because there's no way that I would ever be able to get this out off the cuff like I did earlier today. So I had said, I don't see his comments on this being disrespectful. His job is to motivate and get the best out of his roster. Obviously, defensively, he's got this team overachieving to the point if they added a top pair guy, it'll get even better. Every coach teaches and motivates in a different way. Just because they're playing well doesn't mean everyone gets a pass. You can't just get passive when you're succeeding. That's not how winners are built. You win the Stanley Cup by striving to play at elite levels for extended periods and by constantly improving your play or systems. That's the difference here. Anyone can get a group to play better, but great coaches get their teams to do it for most of an 82-game season and hopefully for 20-plus more games into the second one. The second one being the second season, a.k.a. the playoffs. I love referring to the playoffs as the second season. It's you're basically in an 82-game warm-up for the most important time of the year, in my eyes anyway. So back to what I said. Great coaches continue to motivate despite having them play well. I'm sure in Barry Trotz's mind, yes, he is doing great. His team is doing better. There is always a chance to improve. There's always a way to improve. There's always a way to motivate continuously. You don't want people to just sit back and say, okay, we're doing all the right things. I'm doing all the right things. I'm playing at my absolute best. This is great. No, I'm sorry. You know what? You have another gear that you haven't realized yet. You could skate a little harder. You know that move that you made where you might have missed the net? Maybe next time we don't do that, you get the puck on net. Little things. And I'm not even saying that those are accurate statements from the coach. That's just some of the areas that, you know, a great motivator will be able to sit down with a player and pick apart. You know, there's always going to be criticism no matter how well someone plays. Unless, you know, you're literally doing all of the right things like Matt Barzal has been doing. But even still, I bet you there's room for him to improve, and I just wish he would shoot the puck a little bit more. So let me know what you think. If you feel something similar, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. Even shoot me an email. My email is plastered all over the Isles Faithful website. I would love to hear some comments on that, but that's just my take. All right, now we're going to take some Twitter questions and some Twitter analysis from the last couple of days. So, at Nightvine, huge friend of the show, she's like my den mother, the podcast den mother. She'll keep me in check if I don't give her boy the love and respect he deserves, and that is Johnny Boychuk. And she already knows, and I've mentioned this numerous times over the course of the podcast, I have a Johnny Boychuk shirt. I have a Johnny Boychuk jersey. I happen to love his personality. I love his shot. I mentioned it earlier today. I think he is like one of those old school players. He's got grit. He's got a nice shot when he uses it. And I think he's a great defenseman when he's playing at the top of his game. And he has been. So there's that. Please don't kill me or kick me or stab me or hurt me in any way. I'm sorry I was mean to him. She says, if Hickey is out for a bit, Taves or Aho, and when? Little did we know that since you tweeted me that this morning, Devin Taves would be called up to the NHL or recalled on an emergency basis here. So the first part of your question is answered. It's Taves. The second part of your question was answered today. Now it's just a matter of when he's going to get in. And I alluded to earlier that I don't think he'll be getting in tomorrow because I'm sure, you know, and the way this works typically is a team generally knows that they're going to need to call somebody up prior to everybody else knowing. So I'm sure that there was communication to Bridgeport earlier in the day, and he was probably on a plane ASAP heading to Vegas. So between the time change, being jet lagged, and not potentially making a practice, depending on when he gets there, because he might not have even left yet, I don't think we're going to see him tomorrow. A couple of other people also mentioned that Barry Trotz loves to have those payback games. And Lucas Spezza, obviously, was on the Knights last year. So he played pretty decent last night from everything that I can tell from the 35 seconds of the game I actually was awake for. So I think we'll see him in tomorrow, unfortunately. I know I'm excited about Taves, and let's not rush things. He's up. Obviously, Hickey will be out for some time, and there's a roster freeze, so he's up for at minimum 10 days now, right? Let's take it day by day, game by game. She also asks, who would you go after with all these names being quote-unquote available, and who are your untouchables in trying to make a deal? My untouchables, right off the bat, Matt Barzal, Anthony Beauvillier, Anders Lee. Then you got the kids down in Bridgeport, Wallstrom, Dobson, and Kiefer Bellows. But, you know, I obviously you have to give up to get. So, oh, Devin Taves, too. I don't really want to give him up. I would maybe package like an Aho first. You know, and I really don't want to give up on Bo. But if you're going to go after a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko, which I'm scared to even say, I would potentially maybe give him up in a deal. I don't know. Definitely Brock Nelson would go. He's on, you know, the end of his contract. Jordan Eberle would go. So I doubt they would want vets on expiring deals. They would want someone cost-controlled. Yeah, I mean, maybe Wallstrom. Wallstrom would be on that list, probably. I don't know. Maybe not. And it's hard to say. I've never really seen these kids play, and they're only, like, what, 18 years old? But I don't know if I would give up Bellows or anybody like that. Maybe Michael Dalcole, for sure. Up until this week, I would have maybe included Hosang, but now I don't even really want to do that. But you would have to include a young defenseman, for sure. And one of the top young offensive prospects, and a first, at least. I could see them maybe going after a defenseman, a veteran defenseman. Tyler Toffoli, maybe, you know, on the upper end of the forwards. Jake Muzzin. But again, why do you want to? I mean, unless you're in the playoff spot, why are you going to give up assets like that when you can just wait until free agency to address your needs? You know, I still don't think that the Islanders are near enough to contention to pull a deal like that, especially for Tarasenko. You know, all reports are out of St. Louis say that he's not really getting along with everybody in the room there. It seems like everybody blames him for some of the play. And is that the type of guy you really want on your team when things are going right now with all the young, impressionable kids? I'll put that aside only because the guy is just a legit sniper, and that's one of the things we need. If you guys go and you listen to this week's episode of the Secondary Assist Podcast, Shane and Andy basically talked for 49 minutes about a sniper, and they'll probably listen to this and laugh. But I agree. I was sitting there as I was driving, and I agree. Sniper. Yep. We need a sniper. 100%. We need a guy that could put someone down, shoot him. No. We need a guy who could just shoot, put the puck in the net, and just be that threat that we don't have really anymore since some guy left to go wear pajamas. Thank you, Nightvine. Then we have, not really a question, more of a statement from at JP in VA. Now, I've tried to get JP to come on this show. Him and I have ridiculous banter back and forth. He's very knowledgeable, very friendly, and I'm trying to get him to build up his comfort level to come on the show and talk some hockey with me. We were going on and on via direct message and in our timelines about the power play and had some spirited conversation. But he wants me to bring up Hosang's amazing possession line. He has a really high Corsi 4 percentage with most of his zone starts in the defensive zone. That makes him a huge offensive generator with two guys who are not good before he got there. I brought this up to you a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. You know, Matt Barzal, he drives the play. He gets guys to chase him all over the place, draw penalties. You know, the guy can stick handle in a phone booth, as Butch says, gets in and out of trouble. Sometimes he'll lose the puck multiple times as he's skating around and regain it back. You know, and Josh Hosang is another one of those guys. Yeah, one is a wing, one is a center. You could potentially put them together, but I don't think that's a good idea because you want two dynamic players like that on two different lines, because what's going to happen? That's two players who instantaneously can get you in the offensive zone quick. Zone entries are so important in this league right now with all the young, fast talent. I mean, you got to spread that around. When you spread that around, you have two guys who can drive the play like the both of them can. It opens up everything else for everyone. You know, because now you're not just going to focus on the you know, quote-unquote first line with Matt Barzal. And you're not, he's not going to see all the great matchups all the time, or not great matchups, but all of the tougher matchups. Because now they're going to be like, well, who do we put out there when Hosang's on, out there? You know, this guy can score from everywhere too. The guy can skate around the whole entire team with the puck and not lose it. You got to get a body on him. And what's going to happen? His line mates are suddenly going to find all this real estate and going to be able to score. I bet you once, you know, that line with Filppula and Komarov and Hosang get a little chemistry and they start to be able to see what he can do, I bet you that's going to be a sneakily good line. So, and speaking of speed, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, have you seen Casey Zizekas lately? Has that guy, like, literally been wound up with, like, a big wind-up key in his back? I mean, he was always a good skater, but that guy, all of a sudden, it's like that dad strength with Bailey. All of a sudden, this guy, he decided he wanted to be an elite skater, and I know you're all going to make fun of me for even using the word elite when it comes to Casey Cizikas, because, you know, he is a great role player and an agitator and a great penalty killer and everything else, face-off man. His skating right now, you know, and I don't know if it's sustainable, three of three guys who are extremely good skaters, like elite skaters, and I love that. I love fast skating guys. So yes, JP, he is going to do great things for that line, Hosang. A roundabout way to answer your question, I know, but hey, thanks for writing in. And another non-question, so to speak, was from another good friend of the show, Ryan, Obi-Wan Maroney. He said, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid just yet. There's a lot to improve. Having said that, I really like what I'm seeing in their structure. You could see them buying in. It really showed in Arizona. They were just stifling. They continue to play like this. They're going to give teams fits. And JP chimed in as well and said, but it took the Trots formation, and he hat tips Keith at Lighthouse Hockey, to get them both right. My heart melts when I see 26 skate to the blue line to chip and change. To see Barzal do it makes me see him skating around the rink with the cup raised high one day. That was never going to happen underweight. I can't agree with you guys more. The way that these younger players are buying into Barry Trotz and his ways and being defensively sound, you know, and one of the things he said about Josh Hosang was he has elite talent. My goal is to make him an elite hockey player. That is just poetic justice I'm using that phrase wrong. That is poetry. It's beautiful music to my ears. You have a guy here who wants to take these players and mold them into Hall of Famers, essentially. And he's our coach. Yeah, I still can't wrap my head around this. It's just amazing. Oh, boy. So what else? We're going to go here into Las Vegas on Thursday, which would be tomorrow, hopefully by the time you're listening to this. And hopefully we're going to get a win out. It's they're going to be a tough team to play. I know Max Pacioretty was just put on IR as well. And again, they're not really the same team they were last year, but they're still very good. And as we saw earlier this year, they can do some damage to us if we're not careful. So if they continue to play the way they've played over the last three games, you know, hopefully we come out of Las Vegas with points, if not the win as well. I'm going to take this moment to thank everyone again who wrote in. I haven't done this in a while. I've been going overboard with the guests and going long, so we kind of run out of time from time to time. But I love hearing from everyone. So if you want, either send me a DM on the Twitter account at Faithful Isles, or you know, send us a message, and we'll get some discussions going here moving forward. If you want to follow my personal account, it's at Isles Blogger. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. I'm pretty sure you know how to find those at this point. One last thing here before we go. Devin from Yes Men Outfitters wanted me to remind everyone that I have a personal code you can use for a 10% discount. It's good from now until the end of the year. He can't guarantee any kind of shipment in time for Christmas here, but if you want some last-minute gifts or you want just any cool swag from his site, use the code FAITHFUL10 for 10% off your order. I myself am going to place a crazy order, especially seeing some of his designs in person on Saturday. I just can't wait to get my hands on some good stuff. So head over to yesmenoutfitters.com, show Devin some love by placing an order, or going to his awesome tailgates. Always a good time. He's a great guy. I still have no idea how he manages to have time for all that he does. I barely have time to do this podcast. And that's just that. I don't go to different events and everything like he does. I wish I could. You know, I love hearing all the great stuff from you guys. So again, follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Facebook. He's on Instagram as well. One last thing we'll get out here is King's Coast Coffee. You could use the discount code Isles for 10% off your order. Just yesterday, I happened to place a rather large order for a Christmas present for my wife. She's going to be happy. I got some awesome looking mugs and 4 pounds of coffee, 4 different kinds. Everything there is fresh roasted, sent to you within a day or two, so it's the absolute freshest possible. Wayne had sent me a couple of pounds last month. My wife and I burned through that really quick. It was so delicious and so good. Small batch coffee is just amazing. So head on over to King's Coast Coffee. Use the code Isles to get 10% off your order. He's a Long Island company as well. You might get a day or two in there to sneak an order in before Christmas. I'd reach out to King's Coast on Twitter first, at Kings_Coast, to see if you could still sneak in there. But please, two great friends of the show, show them the love by placing a few orders if you can. If not, you're missing out because both guys offer up some good stuff. Also, I just want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday in case we don't speak. I probably will get another episode out at some point before Christmas, maybe right after Christmas. Just keep in mind, I'm not really sure how the whole iTunes things works when they're on a break. It's like this, so it may be available via my site, but not iTunes. Just keep an eye on Twitter. I'm going to do my best. I'm off here for 11 days for the holidays, so I'll probably get something else out. But in the off chance I don't, have a very safe holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll speak to you soon. So that's going to wrap it up for episode 17 of the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Mike Scherlein, and we will see you next time. Let's go, Islanders.